Extra time and penalties were needed in North London, but Arsenal are through to the Champions League quarterfinals for the first time since 2010. Incredible drama. Barcelona are back in the last 8-2 after defeating Napoli, with their young guns starring again. We review those games and look ahead to Atletico Inter and Dortmund PSV in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly. You join us as the Arsenal players celebrate on the pitch in North London after their 4-2 penalty shootout success. Mikel Arteta smiling, arms wide, embraces his goalkeeper, David Raya, who made the decisive save from Galeno to end this round of 16 tie. They've gone out of this stage in the previous 7 attempts, long before this generation of Arsenal players were in the first team. They are writing their own history. Northern Ireland women's manager Tanya Oxtoby and commentator Adam Summerton join me now on the show. And Adam, it feels like a big night for Arsenal.
Yeah, because so much of the talk ahead of the tie was how many times they'd missed out at this stage of the competition. The fact that they'd performed below their usual standard in the first leg in Portugal, the form that they've been in the Premier League, I think a lot of people expected them to win this comfortably tonight. I'm not just saying this after the occasion, I genuinely didn't expect them to win it comfortably. And so it's proved. I thought Porto across the two legs were fantastic, really, the way that they've worked. Such a good Arsenal team, so hard, so well organised by Conceição, and are unlucky to go out. But, you know, there's been so much talk about the goalkeeping position at Arsenal this season. It was a big call by Arteta to bring in David Raya in the summer to compete with Ramsdale, and eventually David Raya has ended up as the number one. It's been something that's endlessly been debated in the media in England. And I think, as we saw with the way that Arteta reacted after the game, with grabbing Raya and sort of pointing at him to the crowd as if to say, you know, give this man some love, I think that will mean a lot to Arteta as well, because if you're looking to move on the team that just kind of missed out on prizes last season, the addition of Raya is maybe one area where you could say, look, this is where the team have maybe moved on again, with players like Rice as well. And so I think that's significant too, is the fact that who really ended up being the hero in the game as well, for me, is quite significant tonight for Arsenal.
Yeah, and on the flip of that, I think, I thought Porto were fantastic, not just tonight, but across both games. And it's such a cruel, cruel way to go out on penalties, taking nothing away from Arsenal. But, you know, to work so hard and to execute the game plan that they did tonight, which I thought was exceptional, to go out on penalties like that is it's gutting. Yeah, there's not much more you can say about it, really. You know, credit to Arsenal. They were exceptional in the penalty shootout. You want to go first. You want to get the momentum. You want to put the pressure on the opposition. Essentially for Porto, it wasn't meant to be tonight.
We just saw Pepe make his way down to the away end. They are still inside the stadium, those Porto supporters, applauding them, looking pretty devastated. Pepe just turned 41. You wonder if it's his last ever knockout game in the Champions League, although based on his performance tonight, he's probably got another 10 years in him. We'll get more into him and Porto's performance and everything. A reminder, of course, that Porto came into this game in the capital with a 1-0 advantage. Here's how the second leg unfolded on the night.
Back inside to Ødegaard, turns away from a couple of players and looks like Trossard again. He's found him and he's picked out the bottom corner. Wonderful finish from Trossard. And Arsenal lead in North London. They have the breakthrough and they are level on aggregate. What a roar here. And there goes the full-time whistle to some groans around the stadium, because it means penalties to decide who goes through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. And the goalkeepers will massively come into play here. Here comes Porto's next penalty. It's been kept out! David Raya got something on it! Wendell is denied! Declan Rice, who joined the club in the summer, will take it right-footed. Rice scores! Porto must score or Arsenal are through. Galeno for Porto. Saved by David Raya! The save that means that Arsenal are through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League for the first time since 2010. Galeno, the hero of the first leg, sees his penalty saved here by David Raya. They've finally overcome the hoodoo of the last 16, Arsenal. They are through. And what a roar this victory has been met with in North London.
Yeah, the cruelty of football. Galeno with the last kick of the game, basically in Portugal, winning the match, and then his penalty kick saved at the end. Denied by David Raya. The players have just started to filter down the tunnel to further enjoy their celebrations. Arsenal now have got a bit of a break until their next game against title rivals Manchester City at the end of the month. They can enjoy this one tonight. So let's reflect, Adam and Tanya, on what we saw on the night. Just one change for Arsenal from that first leg. Porto went with the same 11. Tanya, that was a tremendous start from Porto in that first 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was. And look, we expected maybe Arsenal to come out and set the tone. And I thought Porto were exceptional in terms of what they were trying to do, trying to draw Arsenal out with the press, you know, being really patient in the deeper spaces with the ball, Porto, and draw Arsenal out and then look to exploit them in behind. And, you know, they committed good numbers forward as well. And, you know, their game plan certainly had, you know, real positives to it. And I think for me, Arsenal, I mean, at this point in the competition, it's about winning and it's about going through. So it doesn't always have to be pretty, but Arsenal to me did look a little bit tired. They did look a little bit, their ball speed wasn't what it used, you know, what we're used to seeing. So taking nothing away from Porto, but I think Arsenal for me never really looked like they were fluid, their fluid self tonight.
There was, of course, the defining moment of the first half, the goal scored by Trossard. There was a little tactical thing you noticed as well, Tanya. You were talking about this box midfield and Ben White coming in field and how that could have played a part.
Yeah, look, I thought the start of the game they were almost trying to go with double width, so Ben White wide with Saka, and then trying to get, you know, the rotation of the midfield in the pockets of space between the lines. But the one time that you know, we saw a little bit more of a traditional invert from White, you know, gave the space then to be able to exploit down that side. So yeah, look, I just thought it didn't really work. It didn't work. The double width, trying to make the pitch big and stretch Porto and exploit,
didn't really work. Did you understand the logic in theory?
Yeah, look, in theory, you know, you can understand you're trying to make the pitch big, you're trying to disconnect the lines for Porto, but in essence, Saka wasn't really in the game. And I think you almost need to push White into midfield, into those central areas, and allow Saka the space up and down the line to maybe go high to low, etc., to try and get on the ball. And I just felt that was missing, in particular, in the first half.
Adam, let's break down the goal itself then, which involved some unbelievable play from Martin Odegaard.
Yeah, it really did. So often they turn to him as the creative force, and that was certainly the case there. It was a really lovely, well-weighted pass from towards the edge of the box through, and the run from Trossard was equally as good. The movement, that's maybe what we didn't see enough of tonight from Arsenal, is runs off the ball in and around the penalty area, which is so you really associate with their play, but we didn't see it as much as normal tonight, but we certainly did on that occasion. Trossard with a great run and an equally good finish as well, stroked it home right-footed. Sometimes I think there's a temptation perhaps to try and take the leather off the ball in a situation like that, but he really just stroked it home, almost passed it into the back of the net, right-footed into the opposite corner. Yeah, he took it ever so well.
It's three goals in his first three home Champions League games for Arsenal, and you were talking about in commentary, Adam, about what a bargain he's kind of proved for Arsenal.
Yeah, he really has been, and I think that, you know, we say, don't we, that sometimes maybe is it quite so easy to find bargains these days? Well, he's certainly proved to be one. I think he's somebody who maybe, you know, he was signed in his late 20s, so you very often would expect clubs these days to be looking for players, you know, particularly clubs like Arsenal, to be looking at you know, maybe players of the age of, what, 22, 23, 24 around. But sometimes you can go and get, I'm not saying he's old, he's not, I mean, Pepe's just played at 41. I mean, he's in his late 20s, but he's got that experience behind him that maybe somebody younger might not have quite so much of. But yeah, he's just, in terms of not just goals, but assists, he's contributed so many as well. I think it was 10 Premier League assists for Arsenal in the second half of last season, if memory serves me right, when he was signed from Brighton in the January. So I remember Rio Ferdinand describing him in the English media as a masterstroke signing. And look, he's delivered a massive goal for them there tonight. David Raya, who they signed in the summer, has produced a big stop as well. But I really, to echo, I think it was what you were saying, Robert, I really do feel for Galeno. I mean, you think about the season he's had in the Champions League. I mean, only Harry Kane has directly contributed to more goals in the Champions League this season. Apparently, his teammates have started calling him Mr. Champions League. And, of course, he's the guy who gets the goal in the first leg and ultimately has his penalty saved. But, as you know, that is football. And you have to go take the rough with the smooth, I guess. So I do feel for him. But I think what I would say about Arsenal as well, as I talked to you, Rob, right at the start of the programme, we talked about how I think there are still maybe one or two question marks from the past as to whether Arsenal are stronger now collectively, mentally as a team. You know, are they now a team that can get over the line? Are they a team that can go and win a big prize? And, you know, in the back of those players' minds, I'm quite sure that elimination against Sporting at this same stage of the Europa League last season, it would have been there. You know, those sort of things, they do leave scars. So for them to go the following season in this competition and win a penalty shootout in the round of 16, that tells me again a lot about the character of this team, how it's developing and how they're maturing as a group. They were perfect in the penalty shootout.
Yeah, Odegaard, Havertz, Saka and Rice all scoring their kicks. You'd back them really when you're looking at that lineup. Let's hear from the man who made the decisive save at the end, though, the UEFA Player of the Match, David Raya.
It's a great feeling, you know, especially for me personally, first time in the Champions League, first time of the club in so many years that we got to the quarterfinals. But it's great to the team, obviously. I think we played a really, really good game from the start. We dominated, we created chances, but then it went down to penalties, and I'm there. We've been working a lot on penalties this year. Because of nights like this, we need to be really, really good, and obviously all the hard work with the goalie coach and with the team is paid off. Obviously, it's a great moment. It's a great moment personally and collectively.
They obviously did their prep, and I suppose we've come away a bit from the idea, Tanya, that penalties are a lottery. There's a lot of prep and skill and mental fortitude that's involved.
Yeah, there is, and I think goalkeepers are a breed all of their own in terms of the way that they prepare for penalty shootouts. And you know, some have all of the spot kicks on their water bottle. Others, you know, look to their goalkeeping coach for signals. But there is prep that goes into that. And, you know, I think from the mental side of it as well, making sure that you've got a process in place that protects the taker and also the goalkeeper. At this level, that's really, really important. It's probably the bits that people don't see, that every club that prepares for situations like this has got a process in place, and you know it's up to players in high pressure situations to be able to execute that, and I thought Arsenal did that exceptionally well.
It was the first Champions League penalty shootout since the 2016 final. It's nearly 8 years ago when Real Madrid beat Atletico. Thomas Partey, now of Arsenal, came on for Atletico in that final. Pepe started and finished the game, and at 41 he was very good on the day. Same age as Mikel Arteta, but somehow still able to do it at this level, Tanya.
Yeah, look, I thought, I said it earlier, I think he was fantastic tonight. And, you know, not just his work on the ball in terms of, his interceptions and, you know, his box defending, but his organisation and the way that he led that team, especially in the difficult moments. I think Arsenal had a period there in the second half where they really did put the foot on the gas, and they were putting Porto under all sorts of pressure, and you could see him sort of marshalling the pulling players in, making sure that they were really compact in central areas, getting first and second contacts, making sure that, you know, Arsenal didn't have any space to play, and that all comes with experience. And he did not look like a 41-year-old, you know, especially in extra time. I just thought he was exceptional tonight, and look, hopefully it's not the last time we see him on that stage.
He really has been blessed with with exceptional genes.
Look, Adam, in terms of Arsenal as well, this is a team that hasn't done what Pepe's done, three Champions League titles to his name. What will this do for them between now and the end of the season? They've just gone top of the Premier League after the weekend's results in England.
Well, it gives them more belief, doesn't it? I mean, the more times that you get these kind of results, the progress that you make in these competitions, it will just further the belief that this is a team that can indeed go all the way. I mean, I think they took a lot of belief from what happened last season in the Premier League, albeit they fell short in the end, but they pushed, you know, one of the greatest Premier League sides we've perhaps ever seen in Manchester City. They pushed them a long way. They'll have taken belief from that. So, you know, this is a team that is certainly better than last season. I think that they're more... There's more savvy about them. I think there's more tactical flexibility about them. I think Arteta's improved from last season as a coach as well.
Arsenal 1, Porto 0, 1-1 on aggregate, 4-2. The shootout win for the Gunners. More on this game shortly. Still to come, though, we've got to look at tonight's other match and look ahead to Wednesday too.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Now to the Estadi Olympic Luis Companies, where things couldn't have been tighter between Barcelona and Napoli. It was 1-1 following the first leg, setting up a winner-takes-all match for a place in the quarterfinals. Phil Blacker was your commentator.
Rafinha, he's made the run. He's in behind and he was looking for Lewandowski. Fermin Lopez behind him will pick out the corner and put Barcelona in front. It's the 20-year-old Fermin Lopez who's come close on a couple of occasions already this evening that has scored the all-important opening goal. Lamine Yamal will come clear with this for Barcelona. Slips a lovely ball through for Rafinha to take on Di Lorenzo. Oh, off the inside of the post. And the follow-up is in from João Cancelo. And Barcelona double their lead. João Cancelo was in the perfect position to profit on the follow-up. Two quick goals for Barca here. And 3-1 they lead on aggregate. Napoli don't quite know what has hit them. The ball slipped through. Politano will try and cut this one back. And then perfectly placed into the corner. Napoli right back in it. How they needed that. Heading for the half hour. Romani up from the back found himself in advanced territory and kept his composure in front of goal. It is Barcelona 2, Napoli 1 on the night. Centre-back Amir Romani with a goal. It's 3-2 on aggregate. Sergio Roberto scampering towards the edge of the penalty area. Infield for Gundogan. Back for Sergio Roberto. Squares it there for Lewandowski to touch it in. And that might well be the goal that sends Barcelona through. That has them back in the quarterfinals for the first time in 4 years. Barcelona 3, Napoli 1. It's 4-2 on aggregate. It's Barcelona into the quarterfinals.
A quirk of football that the last time Barca got to the quarterfinals, they beat Napoli 3-1 at home after a 1-1 draw in southern Italy. They've done it again. Phil joins us now. And Phil, it looked an impressive performance from a Barcelona side tonight with a lot of young players in there.
It was exactly that, Rob. They had to bring their best. Napoli saw to it that they would push them all the way, and Barca did just that. The big build-up had been provided by Xavi, the coach. He'd not tried to play this down at all, building it up as the most important game of their season, which, of course, he will step away from and leave the club at the end of it. So that added to the pressure in a way, but his players really dig deep and delivered. It wasn't until that Lewandowski goal, 7 minutes from time, that effectively they could be secure in the knowledge of their progress, because Napoli, despite having conceded twice in the space of 2 minutes in the first half, had dug deep, got themselves right back in it and had chances to get themselves back on level terms as well. Maybe ultimately the difference was how clinical Barcelona were when the big chances came their way. Napoli created plenty themselves and just weren't quite able to make it count. Barcelona, both in terms of the experienced stars that they had on show, but also notably the young players, all collectively came together to deliver the type of display that was needed.
Yeah, it was needed because they were missing so many notable players, particularly in midfield. Pedro, Gavi and De Jong, who all of them potentially might have started this game. But a 17-year-old won the UEFA Player of the Match award, Phil.
And was absolutely brilliant. You've been talking about Pepe at the age of 41 at centre-back. Pau Kubasi, 24 years his junior, making his Champions League debut. He only turned 17 in January. And he was a picture of composure throughout, officially won the UEFA Player of the Match award. I was looking at the stats afterwards because passing the eye test, I mean, he just looked so comfortable on the ball in possession. His passing range was outstanding. He just looked so composed. And the stats show that he won 100% of his duels in the game. He made 5 clearances, 3 tackles. He had 80 touches. He slotted straight into that side, having never played in this competition before, but had been a key part of the team that had kept 3 consecutive clean sheets in the Spanish Liga coming into this, which persuaded Xavi to play him. I mean, the Barcelona boss before the game had said, he looks like a captain. He looks like he belongs at this level. He clearly had the faith that he did, and how that faith was repaid and some with a wonderfully composed performance. And with so many years ahead of him, if Barcelona, I think, could probably build their defence around him. It's early to be saying that at this tender age, but the display that he put in tonight belied those years. It was brilliant.
Fermín López scoring at the age of 20 from midfield. Lamine Yamal starring and crucial in the build-up to the second goal. There were so many eye-catching displays from Barca youngsters, and manager Xavi paid tribute.
They are ready to play. They are making the difference, especially Lamine in front, Kubarsí. They are amazing. They can make history in Barcelona. So I think we showed passion, we showed personality, we showed good football. Many chances we created. So yes, this is the way. Keep going, because we cannot stop. We are in quarter-final, so now wait for the draw on Friday and let's see what happens.
Xavi there, you also said, I don't think that people believed me when I said I was certain that my announcement about leaving would liberate the players. Now we've shown that we are competitive in Europe. The scoreline suggests it was comfortable, but there were lots of moments, Phil, for Napoli. They looked extremely strong as well at the start of the second half as they tried to get back into the game.
They did. They would be left to reflect on what might have been, really, because they played their part in what was a really entertaining game. It was brilliant right the way, almost from kickoff, when Victor Osimhen was almost in from kickoff within the first 20 seconds, yeah, and denied by Kubasi, and that kind of set the tone, really. But Barcelona recovered from that and dominated the early stages. And those 2 goals that they scored in the space of 2 minutes inside the first 20 minutes of the match looked like they were well on their way to the quarterfinals already at that stage. But Napoli were able to clear their collective heads. They deserve real credit for that, because they worked their way back into the game under Calzona. They started to showcase a threat of their own, got their goal, really well taken goal, first in UEFA club competition by the Kosovan centre-back Amir Rahmani, who found himself in front of goal, ventured forward to join the attack, and it was a lovely composed finish that gave them a genuine hope. And 5 minutes later, there was a big moment in the match as well, a Di Lorenzo header that was heading underneath the bar and into the far top corner, and it drew a brilliant save from Marc-Andre ter Stegen, making his 100th appearance in UEFA club competition, and he marked it with a super stop. Rui had provided the cross, Di Lorenzo the header, and ter Stegen was more than equal to it. And yeah, you're right, early in the second half Napoli started really strongly, had chance after chance, and came close. They had a penalty appeal turned down after a VAR check. Kevin Scalia whistled one just wide. There was a free kick from Politano claimed under the crossbar. They were causing issues really from all over, and then the pick of the chances, I think, that Napoli created was a ball in from the substitute Matias Oliveira, excellent cross from the left, and another of the subs, Jesper Lindstrom, hadn't been on too long either, but he timed his run beautifully, met it right in front of goal. It was a clear header when he made the contact, and he put it just the other side of the post. That was a huge opening, and not long after that, I think it was only a couple of minutes or so, Lewandowski got the goal that effectively wrapped it up. But yeah, it had been right in the balance till then. It looks relatively comfortable on paper, doesn't it? You mentioned the symmetry from 4 years ago when Barcelona, yeah, also won 3-1. I think they got 3 early goals that day, and the Napoli goal was a late consolation. It was a very different story this time around.
Let's hear from Napoli forward Cyril Ngong, who admits missed chances like the one those Phil just mentioned cost his side tonight.
A difficult game. I think we started a little bit slow. We suffered
We let them play football without any pressure, and they punished it. This is the level of Champions League. You have to be ready from the start, and we weren't. Then we got back into the game, scored a goal, and if the first half was longer, I think we could have scored the second. But unfortunately, this is football. We came back inside, and second half, yes, we tried to play good, and we had some chances that we had to finish at this level, and unfortunately we didn't. So,
well, despite their difficulties this season in Serie A in pursuit of defending their title, which won't happen, they've had a good run in the Champions League. Napoli out in the round of 16. Barca were the first team in Champions League history to start two players aged 17 or under in a knockout game. The future looks bright with their young guns from the academy. Two games to look forward to on Wednesday to complete the quarter-final lineup, which currently reads Barca, Madrid, Bayern, Paris Saint-Germain, Manchester City and Arsenal. Borussia Dortmund take on PSV Eindhoven in Germany, 1-1 for the first leg. We've got coverage on Matchday Live for you. Adam Summerton's commentating on this game elsewhere. Adam, how do you see this one going into a huge game in front of the yellow wall?
I find it really hard to call. You know, you look at the evidence of the first leg, similar to the game I've watched tonight, actually. I thought the second leg of that would be tightly contested too. So, yeah, I love games that pit German teams against Dutch teams. There's always that historic national rivalry there. And PSV are just a team who I think they will go there and bat themselves. And you couldn't always say that about a team going to Dortmund that they will bat. But I think that they will. I mean, how could you not the season?
You think they'll go for it?
Yeah, I do. I think the season that they've had, you know, I think they've only lost twice all season, I think I'm right in saying. And one of those was on match day one in the UEFA Champions League at Arsenal, where they took a real beating. But other than that, the only other defeat that they've suffered was against Feyenoord in the Dutch Cup. They're completely unbeaten in the league. They're absolutely romping away with it. It's really, really well set up at 1-1 and a very intriguing tie.
The other game, of course, of interest to you, because you covered the first leg at San Siro, Inter beating Atletico by 1-0. Our feature commentary on Matchday Live, by the way, on Wednesday. But do you see Inter holding on to that lead and going through? They're comfortably top at Serie A at the moment.
If I had to give an answer to that, I would say yes, I would see them going through, but it'll be very tough. And there were times in that first leg against Atletico where there was a threat, particularly from Lino down the left hand side. He caused Darmian problems, and I wonder whether that's something that Inzaghi might address for the second leg. That was certainly an area where Simeone would have felt that his side were capable of causing problems. Alvaro Morata was only fit enough to come on as a sub in that first leg. So I think if you look on form and you look on how good in terms of teams they are, I would say that Inter are just a better place right now. For me, they're a better team collectively just right now than Atleti, but you never quite know with home advantage, and Simeone has pulled it out of the bag in the past.
He certainly has. Okay, those games on Matchday Live on Wednesday night. Let's turn our attention back to Tuesday. A reminder, Arsenal through after a penalty victory against Porto. Mikel Arteta, a very proud man.
Yeah, so happy. It's been 14 years, so that's a long time for a club like Arsenal not to do what we've done today, but it shows how difficult it is. We have to really dig in today and find the magic moment. It's really difficult to play against them. They are a really, really competitive team, battle after battle, and we scored a goal in a really important moment. We tried to generate chances. We had two or three, not many, but this is Europe and this is this competition as well. But at the end, we managed to do it.
Mikel Arteta speaking there. Into a Champions League quarterfinal as a head coach for the first time. Adam, Tanya and Phil with me to pick out moments, players of the night. How about this? Phil, first of all, Barcelona through their victory. What was your moment of the night from Barcelona?
The moment of the night, I would say, would be the final goal of the game that wrapped it up, not just because it was the goal that sent them through, but it typified, I think, Barcelona's performance. Wonderful movement involving the likes of Gundogan. Sergio Roberto was unselfish, and Lewandowski again scoring 13 goals in his last 13 games in the knockout stages of the Champions League. They had to be at their best, they were, and I think that goal showcased it.
Adam, your moment of the night for North London?
Well, it's the obvious one, isn't it? David Raya's save. I don't think I can really say anything other than that. It was the crucial moment, and it was a really good stop
in the penalty shootout, of course. And Tanya, great to have you back on the show after 3 years away. It's been great to have your company and your insight. You get to pick our official, the Match Day Live player of the match, the real player of the match.
Look, Odegaard for me, I thought everything that Arsenal did that was positive went through him, and he showed his real leadership tonight.
Tanya, Adam, Phil, thank you very much, and thank you very much for listening as well. We'll be back with Match Day Live on Wednesday from 8 p.m. CET as the round of 16 comes to a close with full commentary of Atletico versus Inter. And we'll have live updates from Dortmund versus PSV with that tie at 1-1. This podcast available after every match night. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.